Welcome to the Blaxican Conservative Podcast. For those of you who have been listening to me for some time, I've often discussed my breathing and sleeping issues. I'm about to enter the last stage of this process. I couldn't do the CPAP machine. You know, I like to sleep on my stomach and roll around. I like to spoon when I'm in the bed, so I can't sleep with a CPAP. But I'm in the last stage. I did another sleep study. For those of you who've participated in a sleep study, you probably know that you can't sleep during the study because they make you sleep on your back the whole time with a bunch of shit on you, a bunch of stickers. They put a bunch of grease in your hair and then attach these wires to your head. I'm sorry, they don't put the grease in your hair. They put the grease on your scalp. The EKGs, all these wires, all this shit on your fingers. They put something up your nose. So it's hard to sleep while they're trying to study your sleep. But anyway, I did another one. And now we're going to go to the last step, which is to implant the pacemaker in my chest to help me sleep. Now, for those of you who know me again, I bombed the LSAT. That's the exam that they make you take before you get into law school. It's not really a pass or fail. It's a percentile. I'm assuming it still is. It's where you rank on a percentile. I didn't do too well. I bombed it. I did okay on the GRE, so I went to grad school instead of law school. I think I'm pretty intelligent. But I've asked my doctor, not my primary doctor, I've asked her about this procedure. It's called Inspire. That's the name of the company that makes the pacemaker. So I asked my primary doctor. I asked her about it, and she gives me her feedback, but it's mostly positive. But she always says to me, I'm not the expert. Discuss that with the surgeon. So I've asked my surgeon as well, and I've asked him at least 5 times. I say, sir, I apologize, but I know you explained it to me 4 or 5 times, but can you explain to me again exactly how something that you put in my chest can help me sleep? Because I don't understand nothing he's saying to me. Now I can ask him to speak in English for me, even though he's speaking in clear English. I just don't understand what they're doing. That sounds kind of ridiculous, right? I don't understand how this pacemaker is going to help me sleep. So anyway, he's explaining it to me again for maybe the 5th or 6th or 7th time. And then he just loses me when he says, because I tune out real quick when I don't understand something. So he says, we put the pacemaker on the opposite side of your chest that they will put the pacemaker for the heart. They just put it on the opposite side. And he said, at night, all you do is hit the button on the remote. And that's it. Apparently, I'll be able to sleep. So I'm still kind of. Obviously, I'm gonna do my own research about Inspire. I think that's the name of Inspire. Because apparently, it the pacemaker's for your tongue. It's controlling your tongue because your tongue is the one, the thing that's blocking the airways and making you snore and causing the apnea and all this shit. But I'm finally getting to the last stage of this pretty long procedure. The apnea has decreased by 50% after they took all that shit out my throat. And hopefully, again, like I said, I'll be able to sleep finally. Because I don't want to die in my sleep. So we're entering the last stages of this procedure. But a lot of stuff that's going on. I couldn't even get to it at any time, any day. We're expecting the Roe v. Wade decision amongst eight different cases. Roe v. Wade is one of them. You got a population of people who want to, you know, who want to protect the unborn, who ask the same question that I asked. Is there a species? Is there a population of people? Is there a certain species that don't deserve protection? I mean, we have protected land in the world. We have frogs and turtles on protected lists. Who's going to protect these unborn kids? Listen, and is this really a hateful issue? Is this really a political issue? It seems to be divided by Republicans and Democrats. The Republicans want the babies to live. The Democrats want them to die. I know that's kind of ignorant what I said, but that's what it seems like. And it shouldn't be like that. Where's all the hatred coming from? We conservatives simply believe that these unborn children need some sort of protection. Now, I know I've had conversations with plenty of people. The people that I just cut off, and I know the conversation's not going anywhere, is the people who say, well, you can't have a baby, so you can't have the argument. Or you don't have a uterus. You don't have a vagina, so you can't have... All right, once people say that, conversation is over, man. Have a good one. You sound stupid. What that really means is you have no other real argument other than you don't have a pussy, so you can't talk about it. Right now, there are states in this country where you can have an abortion up until the day of birth, California being one of them. A lot of this started to come into play again when Mississippi passed. Well, I don't know if they passed it or not. They wanted to pass it, but it's the 15-week ban. After 15 weeks, you can't get an abortion. I believe Texas and Florida have similar laws where at week 16, you could no longer have the abortion. And I hear women and some soft men say, well, some women don't know they're pregnant at 4 months. You don't? And again, I obviously I can't carry a child, but you don't know you're pregnant at 4 months? I mean, Brenda from, Tupac's first album, Brenda's got a baby. She knew she was pregnant. She was 13 years old. Or was she 12? I don't remember. I just remember the video, the Tupacalypse album. Brenda's got a baby. Remember, she threw her baby in a dumpster. She had a baby in a bathroom floor. She didn't know what to throw away and what to keep. She wrapped the baby up and threw it in a trash heap. Anyway. But for, 4 months, 16 weeks. You can't get an abortion after that. Some people will argue that women don't know that they're pregnant. I don't know about y'all. But I knew any time I had sex with a girl, I didn't wear a condom, and I didn't pull out, I knew that there was about a better than 50% chance that she might be pregnant. And you would assume that the females understand this as well. There's no protection, there's no birth control, there's no condom, the man didn't pull out, you might get pregnant. You should probably follow up on that. But we're expecting that decision at some. And I'm watching when the draft got leaked. I was watching these people on TV. There were some women painting fake blood on their legs, fake blood on their hands. They were in the street shouting. They're all proud that they had an abortion. I had an abortion, bitch. And then they turn around and start twerking. I mean, I'm just confused. Why is this such a hateful thing? You have a population of people who are pro-life. They want to protect the life of these children. Most of those people have children. It's hard to look at your own kids and say, damn, What if this, I look at my own son, what if he wasn't here? And I can't imagine that. But then you have a population of people who just want pregnant. What do they call it? Abortion on demand. What is that? Abortion on demand. They want it up until the day of birth. Now, again, before you all come at me with the rape and incest stuff, trust me, I understand that. Most of these states that have the 16-week or the 4-month thing where you can't get an abortion after that, they have these things in place where if you're raped, if you're a victim of incest, you can have that abortion, or if giving birth can lead to the mother's death, then you can get an abortion. And by the way, overturning Roe v. Wade—that's not banning abortion. I mean, there are three branches of government. This branch—they don't—they this decision should have never been theirs. They're just giving this. I said this in my podcast last month. They're just giving this power back to the people. That's what a democracy is. You put this back in the hands of the voters, of the people. Now, of course, there are governors in place now. But if you don't like what this governor's talking about, get him up out of there. Vote him out. But see, here's the problem with Democrats. They don't want it like that. They don't want to vote. They really don't. Because they would tell you that most people are outraged if this Roe v. Wade is overturned. But there will be a population of people who are just staying quiet. They're not they won't celebrate the decision. They won't be in the streets marching and doing a parade. They're just all about protecting life. But you leave it in the hands of the voters. They go vote. If more people vote for the pro-life governor, then that's just how it goes. That means more people are in line with what that governor believes in. And vice versa. That's all it is. But you see a lot of hatred. It's kind of nasty. It's kind of scary as well because, I don't know, maybe 2 months ago I did a podcast where I said that Americans are slowly becoming the dumbest people in the world. And we truly are. We're becoming very hateful, very divided, very poor, and just very, very evil. We're very stupid. We're easily manipulated. What do pimps do to their hoes or to their victims? They manipulate them. They pump their hearts full of fear. They tell them shit like, oh, your parents don't care about you. Where you gonna go? Your parents don't want you back. Your friends don't want you back. You ain't got nowhere to go. You gotta count on me. And then they put the fear in your heart. If you leave me, you gonna die. You need me. You gonna get hurt without me. You leave me, I'm gonna cut you off. You ain't gonna get this. You ain't gonna get that. They put this fear in their heart. This is what's gonna happen to you if you ain't got my protection. That's what the Democrat Party does to people. They put all this fear in their heart. I mean, what did they say that gay marriage was gonna be on the docket next? some idiot said they're going to ban condoms. Hey, we need to bring back we need to get this condom mandate jumping off. There'll be no need for abortion. Remember, they put the condom on you instead of giving you a circumcision. No, I take that back. Y'all need to get y'all dick circumcised. So after the circumcision, they put the condom on and they attach it to you. And it's just there for your whole childhood. Then obviously when you get grown and your shit gets all hairy and you start experiencing erections, you notice that you got a condom on your shit. But then when you're an adult, when you can prove to somebody, I don't want to say prove to government, because as you all know, I'm all for less government. But you have to be able to prove that you can take care of this child emotionally and financially, then you can have the condom medically or surgically removed, and then you can have a child. There'll be no need for abortion, right? Hey, Hey, listen, I've had conversation after conversation with people about this abortion thing and the possible overturning of Roe v. Wade. They think it's a ban on abortion. It's not. It's not a ban on abortion. It's just those nine justices telling you that it's not in their hands to make a decision on the on abortion. It's not a constitutional right because it's not in the Constitution. That's simply what that's what they're saying to you. Now, the right to bear arms, the Second Amendment, that is in the Constitution. The Supreme Court made the ruling for the state of New York that people can openly conceal carry now. They can walk out of their homes with their concealed carry weapon. And these people threw a fit. The Second Amendment really is a constitutional right. Now think about everybody's fake outrage in New York. Well, some of them anyway. So here you have it. You have, let's just say your driver's license, right? So in order to obtain a driver's license, you have to prove that you can first take some, I don't know, do they still do the written exam? Well, you have to prove that you're competent to do that, to pass that. Then you do a driving test. Then you actually get the license. With that license, you can then get your vehicle and you have to get car insurance. You have to get insurance. You have to be insured to drive. So you have to prove, you have to show proof in a few ways that you are capable of driving around in a vehicle. You can get that driver's license. You prove, I guess, to the state that you are able to drive. You are competent to drive. Same thing with the carry conceal license. Although Ohio, I guess you don't need it now with this idiotic. I always vote Republican. But this upcoming election with DeWine, I don't think I'll be voting for that dude no more. That dude needed I don't think I'll ever tell a Republican to be more moderate, but this dude needs to be more moderate. But you keep carry conceal, you do you pay for the class, you sit there for the 8 hours, the last 2 hours are shooting instruction. You can actually shoot a firearm. You don't have to bring your own firearm. They have firearms in the class. The last 2 hours of the 8 hours is spent shooting that firearm. You get your you actually have to apply for the license. It says the license takes 60 days to come in the mail, but it took me 3 months to get mine in the mail. You have now proven that you are competent to carry conceal because you've done the background check to get the carry conceal license from the sheriff's department. You did the background check to actually get your firearm. And the last time I did a background check, it took a full week for me to get my last firearm. It took a full week. I thought that it was taking so long. I was like, "What? Did they find a reason to deny me?" But that's just the average time now, a full week. Some people got to wait a month to get that approval. A lot of people are being denied these days, by the way. But you've proved that you are competent enough to own this firearm, to carry this firearm around. What you don't have to do, and this is where the decision from the Supreme Court came in. The New York State had a law where if you wanted to carry your firearm outside of your home, you had to submit all this paperwork to the state, to the government, explaining to them why you should be able to take your firearm outside the house. Now, most people would just put to protect myself, but that was never good enough. A lot of people got denied. The only people who were being approved were celebrities. Security for celebrities, security for athletes. These were the only people being approved to carry their concealed carry firearm outside of the home. So what the Supreme Court said is you do not have to prove or give government a reason why you should be able to carry outside of your home once you obtain that carry concealed license. So I go back to the driver's license. I took the driver test, the written part, the driving part. I have insurance. I got my vehicle. I don't need to submit a request to the state asking them if I can drive because I got to get to work, because I got to get to school. It's none of their business why I want a car, why I want to drive my car. And it's the same thing with a firearm. Nobody should have to submit to the state, to government, why they want to carry their firearm. They've already obtained the license. They've already done the background check. And so everybody was up in arms. But this was really part of the Constitution. It's the Second Amendment. Nobody has to tell anybody why they want to carry the firearm. Just like I don't have to tell anybody why I want to drive. And people, they were saying, oh, New York is going to be a war zone now. This idiotic mayor, a black man, who was celebrated when he was elected in, but he turned out just to be as phony as everybody else. He said, New Yorkers feel a lot less, what do you say? They feel less safe now. You do? So a bunch of concealed carry, a bunch of licensed carriers are the ones committing crimes? That's not true at all. Your state is already a war zone. Because the people who have firearms now and who are actually walking around with them and committing crimes don't give a rat's ass about gun laws. The people who took the time to do things responsibly and legally, those aren't the people out there committing crimes. Anyway, I'm expecting this thing to come down. We saw how people reacted to the decision in New York about the concealed carry. And we'll just wait and see. We'll wait and see. So, you know, while going back and forth to these medical appointments and these sleep studies, I didn't get a chance at all to touch on the school shooting in Uvalde, a mostly Hispanic community, and Hispanic school. Most, if not all, Hispanic children and families. A Hispanic shooter. And the first thing I thought about is. It wasn't about gun control. It wasn't about passing more gun laws, because that's the last thing we need is more laws. We have laws in place now. Most laws aren't enforced. Last thing we need is more laws. I mean, we've had laws against sex offenses and people still rape people to this day. I mean, as I'm speaking right now, there are probably 100, 200, 300, 400 people being raped right now. And there are all kind of laws on the books for sex offenses. New York State and California have the strictest gun laws in the country. They have the highest rates of gun violence. So last thing we need is more laws. But what we do need in this country, man, we need fathers really, really bad. We need fathers in this country. Because the one thing I didn't hear about at all, about this shooting, we heard about is apparently the shooter shot his, if I'm not mistaken, his grandmother in the face. His mother has been talked about. I think she gave a statement to a reporter, but we haven't heard anything about this kid's father. And the last thing I want to do is start searching for, you know, information about his father. Man, I don't want to dig too much into this shooter. And for me, I don't know about y'all, but it's hard to watch the news and see these kids. They keep showing their faces on the news. I got to turn the channel. My son is that age. But that's the first thing I thought about when I was, you know, the day of the story and the days after. It's just the shortage of fathers in this country, of good fathers, fathers in their kids' lives. Because these kids are hurting. This COVID crap really put a lot of people behind. It really isolated a lot of people. It put so many of these kids behind. And these kids in these schools are hurting. They are hurting. And I hate to go backwards on the on this show. I always tell people to listen to my first three episodes. You heard about what I experienced in school. And there were times I thought about causing harm in my school because of the things that I went through. And there were a lot of kids like that. But this happened to me when there was no social media. I didn't really care about searching for friends or trying to find friends. I had my brothers at home. And there were a few people in the projects that I considered friends. So I never had to turn to social media to find friends or to be accepted. And apparently this kid was being bullied in school. And by the way, I'm not you know, justifying what he did. I guess what I'm trying to get to is, you know, what we see 1 year or whatever grade, if we don't take care of it then, we're going to see something much, much worse later on. All right. We already have all these media outlets talking about these stories nonstop. All right. So you're just training the next shooter. These kids see this stuff. They always say that they're not noticed. Nobody notices them. A lot of serial killers say this stuff as well. Nobody noticed them. Nobody paid attention to them. But now you will pay attention to me. You will notice me. You will remember me. You're going to remember me by my actions. I'm going to get more kills than the last guy. I'm going to do something more outrageous than the last guy. You have a lot of kids in this country that are just in pain, mental pain. They're being bullied in school. They're being bullied online. They don't fit in anywhere. Now this kid, they were showing the shooter again. And I call him a kid because he's 18. He was 18 or 19. Compared to my old ass, that's a kid. But they were showing photos of him, you know, some transformation he went through about 2 years ago, right when the pandemic started, when they start isolating kids. Certain hairstyles of his, what he was doing to his, if I'm not mistaken, had his nails polished, had his hair dyed, had his hair down and, you know, looking like bangs. Do they still call them bangs? So we have these identity issues with these kids. They don't know where they fit in. I mean, hell, you got a bunch of kids out here claiming to be trans and all these different genders and he, she, him, they, there. They want to fit in somewhere. They're not gay. They just want to fit in somewhere and be a part of something they think is it. Like mental, you know, like that. All right, let me slow down. Obviously, there are some mental health issues amongst these kids. But a lot of people identify with some mental health issue when they don't have one. They just think it's cool to say, yeah, I suffer from mental. They don't even know what they're talking about. They just see their favorite singer saying, yeah, I suffer from such and such. And they really don't. So it's almost cool to say that you have mental health issues. And you really don't. You just want to belong to a certain group. And that's what's wrong with these kids now. They want to fit in somewhere. They're not noticed. They're ignored. But that was nasty, man. And now all these stories are coming out now about how the police were stopping parents from rushing in and saving their own kids. Man. You know that day is going to play out in the heads of everybody that was involved, especially the parents that lost their kids, standing outside hearing the gunshots. Now, these gunshots weren't from those cops. Because they didn't want to go into school. Now, who knows? I don't know what happened. I wasn't there. But at some point, you got to say, you know what, Captain? Man, I don't know what you're talking about, man. I'm about to go in here and save these kids. We could deal with the consequences. I could deal with the consequences of my actions later. I have a job to do. It says protect and serve. Right now, we ain't protecting nobody. We're standing outside. But that's just a tough situation. And it drives this further. Like I keep telling people, they want to reimagine police. They want to defund the police. They want to do this and that. Man, these police are reactive. They're reactive people. They react to things. They don't prevent nothing. EMTs, they don't prevent anything. They react to it. Firemen, they react. And that's what policemen do. They react. When they get to the scene, you already have the bullet in your ass. You're already dead. You've already been the victim of a domestic violence. You've already been robbed. Your home's already been burglarized. Your car's already been jacked. The police are reactive people. That's all they are. And if we look at them as anything else, then we're setting ourselves up for the boo-boo. Because what we saw in Texas, in Uvalde, that was disgusting on the part of those police officers. And I respect the hell out of law enforcement. I personally believe that it should be expanded even more. More police officers on the street. Their presence, when I was a kid, would stop people from committing certain actions. You were getting ready to do something, you saw a police officer there, you're like, nah, I ain't doing that shit. But they're reactive people. That's all they do. They react. Look, I don't want to shit on no police officers, but but most of the police officers I know, they don't give a rat's ass about the community they patrol. The communities they patrol. They really don't. They want to get their 8 hours in, and then they want to go to their overtime job and make more money. That's it. They do their 8 hours, then they go to their OT gig. That's it. They can care less about the community they serve. If they're called to a scene, they're called to the scene. It's part of a job. Again, I'm not knocking them. I mean, we all have our jobs. We just do it. But let's not look at these cops as anything else. They have a job to do. Just like the mailman. Mailman drops off the mail. Police officers answer the call. Take down the report. That's what they do. But again, what we saw in Uvalde, that school, that was disgusting. They knew it was one dude inside the school. And you know what I hate the most? I hate when we have these mass shootings. And it's one gunman. And then all the news crews get there and they start, you know, recording the area, doing interview, whatever, doing interviews. And you see a bunch of dudes, like 50 of them, SWAT, police, every, you know, sheriffs, and they're all in their gear with these big ass guns and helmets with cameras on their helmets, dressed in all this tactical gear. Like you're too late. You're already late. Well, you got, why do you have all that shit on? And they're walking around with their big ass guns, dressed to go to war. But there's one shooter. And you're already late. But they're just staying at the scene as if there's more. Anyway, passing more gun laws is just complete nonsense. The people who commit crimes with guns don't give a rat's ass about gun laws. Unfortunately, from time to time, you'll get a kid who gets access to these weapons, and they want to cause harm. It's an issue for fathers. For soft-ass fathers, for weak fathers. They're too soft to step up and take care of their kids, to be a part of their sons' lives. And I said sons because I don't see any, I've never seen a scenario or a story or report where a woman committed a mass shooting. It's always boys, men. But it's just sad because this ain't going to be the last one. You could pass all the gun laws. I mean, think about it. If you ban all gun sales right now, I can still go out and get guns. I mean, crack is illegal. I can go get crack right now. Heroin, fentanyl, all this stuff is illegal, but you can get it right now. You ban guns, you ban the sale of guns. You don't think people on the street will be able to get a gun? No, the only people you are harming is the people who wanted to be responsible and obtain their firearms legally, the right way. Those are the people you'll be hurting. Not the people who already buy their guns illegally so they can commit crimes. We don't need more gun laws. Nobody's really against universal background checks. They do that shit anyway. I mean, these people will have you believe that people can walk into a gun store and just buy rifles off the wall and walk right out the door. You have to get a background check for that stuff. And unfortunately, this kid, you know, somebody failed to put the fact that he had, I think he was at, what was he, 17 when he had some issues with making similar threats of harm or whatever. The mental health treatment, the hospital, whatever was going on, it wasn't documented. So when they did his background check, it didn't pop up. They want to raise the age from 18 to 21 and when you can purchase something like an AR-15 or a firearm. What is that going to do? I'm 18. I can't buy a gun from a store. I buy it off the street. Same way you buy drugs off the street. I mean, you want to drink some liquor, you're too young to get it, pay somebody to go in there and get it for you. Anyway, how about we enforce the gun laws we have now? It doesn't matter what city you drive to or go to in this country, what county you go to. They all have strict gun laws, illegal gun laws, gun crime, you know, for gun crimes, actual gun offenses. And it doesn't matter where you go. If you're involved in a robbery where a firearm was used, they'll just drop the firearm spec and make you plead guilty to the robbery. And then you just get probation. So what's the point of screaming about gun laws when you don't enforce the ones you have? Oh, this ain't my gun, man. My cousin left this in a car. I mean, it's the same thing with stolen vehicles. You're carjacking people at gunpoint. You get caught with the car. You even put your baby seat and your clothes in the car. And then you say, oh, my friend gave me the car. My friend said I could use it. They never came back and got it. What's your friend's name? His name is D. What's D's real name? I don't know. I just call him D. Okay, plead guilty, get probation. Anyway. Hey, I apologize to all the, you know, the police officers out there if you took offense to what I said. But that's what they do. They react to things that already happened. Listen, if I go to work tomorrow and I slap the shit out of somebody, I'll be arrested, right? But the police will get there after I've already slapped you. Police can't stop anything. They can't prevent any crimes. Not sure if you get noticed that, you know, somebody's going to commit some god awful crime, you can nip it in the bud, you could put an end to it, right? But for the most part, none of these crimes, no police can stop anything because no laws can stop anybody from doing anything. They can't. What we need are more deterrents. I told you, if you're convicted of a sex offense, right there in the court, cut his dick off. You know, don't lead him out of the courtroom in handcuffs. Don't put him in prison. As soon as he pleads guilty or he's convicted, tell him to pull his dick out, put it on the table, push, slice it off. If you murder somebody and they have proof, because listen, obviously they, you know, people are, and this happened a lot in the past. People were sentenced to prison for crimes they didn't commit. We all know that. That happens. It's a rarity, but it does happen. But if you're convicted of the murder, they have proof that you did it. I mean, you're found with the person's dead body. As soon as you plead guilty or you're convicted, sheriffs are just walking behind you, blow your head off. These are good deterrents. These things will work. Like, you know, if you commit a crime, you know you will die on the spot in the courtroom. So you'll think twice, maybe, about committing certain crimes. See, I'll give you a good example. Brittany Griner, the WNBA player, is still in custody in Russia. She was in possession of some, I don't know, THC oil, some, I don't know what it was. But if it happened over here, she'll probably just get a slap on her ass and sent on her way. She would have never been taken to jail. She probably wouldn't even went to court. It would have been, you know, flip it over and pay the fine. But this, she didn't get caught with that in America. She got caught with that in Russia. And they enforce their laws over there. In other words, they don't play that shit. Now, you can say it's political all you want. But the bottom line is that she broke their law. And they are enforcing the law. So as outrageous as it seems to keep somebody in prison and in custody for that, it isn't. It's not that way to them. If we adopt that attitude here, do you believe crime would decrease? But no, we're getting softer and softer. Softer and softer. Nobody's going to prison. They're all getting probation. They're all going to drug court. We need real deterrence in this country. Listen, the sex offense thing is we're seeing now for sex offenses, these people getting less and less time in jail. I mean, hell, there are people in possession of child porn, transferring it, saving it, getting probation now. Just pull the dick out right on the spot, slice it off. Anyway, I'm out of here. We expected that decision soon. It's heating up already. We're waiting for the we got the coach. We're waiting on that decision as well. The coach that was fired for praying at the 50-yard line in midfield after a game. What kind of shit is that? Anyway, I'm out.